Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the revelation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that Thou hast been kind enough and gracious enough and humble enough to show us this great truth. We admit ourselves in ourselves that many times we fail to respond, even when Thou hast shown us the wonderful things of the gospel. So often we let these matters lie. We pray Thee, Father, to forgive us. Quicken our hearts. Turn us unto Thyself, and help us to respond to the truth as it is shown. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. As we proceed in our study of the Gospel of Matthew, we are now in chapter 17 at the 14th verse. And here we come to a study of unusual significance for us all. As you will remember, in the early part of the 17th chapter, we looked at the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we saw there something of the true nature of Jesus Christ, of the wonder of Him as He is the Son of God. We come to now to an incident which reveals much of the true nature of the power of His name. This is the story of the man with the afflicted son who came to the Lord Jesus Christ that he might be helped by Him. And perhaps we might read this just to have the matter in our before us. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to Him a certain man kneeling down to Him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to Thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, 'Remove hence to yonder place,' and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." So here we have this record, this amazing story. From the Mount of Glory, where they had seen Him in His transfiguration and had watched with awe, the disciples, Peter, James, and John, had come down with the Lord Jesus to the Valley of Service. And here the problem is one of power. It is always thus. It is those who worship Him in His glory who can turn to serve among men with power. But this incident brings us up sharply in what happened. This father brought his afflicted son to the disciples, and they could not cure him. This is the shocking thing, the startling thing. Even the disciples weren't prepared for it. Then the father came to the Lord Jesus. Worshipping Him, he came on his knees. And he told the failure of the disciples, reporting the failure. I brought him to Thy disciples. They could not cure him. Now it is of interest to see what the reaction, if you will, or the response of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you?" Who shall we think He was speaking to? The Father? I hardly think so. I think He is speaking to His disciples, and He is calling them faithless, which is the best English way of putting the idea of cross, operating without faith. They endeavor to do something without exercising faith. Perverse, perverse because they were going about it in a twisted way. What they were going about was all right, but apparently they didn't go about it in a good way. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? There is an implied rebuke here, as if he were to say, will you never learn? And we could all wonder in ourselves, well, what are they to learn? What have they missed? Now notice the words, bring him hither to me. Is that possibly the clue to the whole matter? In other words, did the disciples undertake to do this themselves? Now they knew there was power available. Did they make the mistake of thinking they had it? They knew perfectly well that when this father brought his child for healing, that had been done before, and they had seen it. Now the father came with the child in, apparently in good faith, just as others had come. And these men, these disciples, went through with their part of it, and there was no result. And the Lord Jesus, in a sense, I think, rebukes them. That is to say, he points out something, wherein they failed. When he uses the word faithless, they were without faith. It's not so much they said he couldn't. It's not so much that they positively doubted that he could. It's not that they didn't think it was going to happen. It was that they didn't exercise faith. And here may be a good point for a time for us to pause for a moment about this idea of faith. Faith isn't something. Faith isn't something you can have in a tube that when you squeeze it, you can get some of it here or some of it there. Faith isn't something you have in something like a salt shaker or a sugar bowl, and you can put in a little faith here and a little faith there. You don't walk around with faith in you. Faith is a way of describing your response to the living God. It is you yielding yourself into the hand and the work of the living God, the power of the living God, that he may work in you. Faith always involves a commitment to God, that God may operate in and through you. And even though I believe there is a God, even though I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, even though I understand that he has done things for me in the past, it's quite possible for me now, in all goodwill, to go out here and undertake to do something and to undertake to do it on my own. And I'm not really exercising faith in the Lord. I'm just going to do something for him and find that nothing happens in a spiritual sense. Bring him hither to me. Should this not be the aim in every service that we conduct? Is not this what we should do every time we speak in his name? When they ask the question, why could not we cast him out? If you will underscore that word we, I think you'll understand the answer. Why could not we cast him out? Because of your unbelief. In other words, and this is a way in which you can easily feel it in here, you never could have by yourselves. And in this you were operating by yourself. You failed to bring him to me. And I would like to press this a little further with reference to our work in the church, in the Sunday school, in young people's work. I think I see in this father bringing this afflicted son. I see parents bringing children to Sunday school. I see families sending young people to church. I see friends bringing some friend to the church service. And here, if you have some loved one of yours that is possessed, as it were, of evil, and they really need help, and so you bring them, that these parents or these friends will bring such a one to the church, what are they looking for? What are they hoping and expecting? That something should be done to this loved one of theirs. Maybe they have thought for days and for weeks and have prayed for months, if only I could get him to the church. If only I could get him to the church. So they bring this one to the church. Now what happens? do we in the church bring this one to the Lord? Remember what the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, bring him hither to me. Is it possible that in our church activity we do not bring the people to the Lord? Is this the secret of much Sunday school futility? Is this one reason why more doesn't happen in our Sunday school class? Are we who teach actually trying to teach them ourselves? In the young people's work, is our young people's program an activity of the young people and of the sponsors and of the leaders? Are we all doing this together? Are we seeking to work out something that would be good for the community or good for the individual person or good for our families or good for the nation or good for the world? Is that what we're trying to do? In our young people's work and services, do we seek the face of the Lord? In our Sunday school work, do we actually seek the face of the Lord? As we're working along with these children, are we seeking to bring them to know the Lord Jesus Christ? In our church services, in our morning worship services when the large congregation is present in the sanctuary of the church, are we actually seeking to bring them into the presence of the Lord? Is this the purpose of the preacher of the day? Or is he taking this occasion to set forth some of his ideas to these people? And so far as your church work is concerned, our church work is concerned, are we actually organizing ourselves for what we can do? Or are we seeking together to find out what the Lord would have done and to do what the Lord would do? And would this be the reason why people come to our services and go home no different? They come to the Sunday school and go home Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, no different. And our young people's program, we have young people going there for months and for years until they graduate from there and are gone, no different. Is the reason why? Because we never brought them to the Lord Jesus Christ? Our Father in heaven, help us in our work that we might be found faithful to bring the people to the Lord. Be merciful as we go on with our ministry in teaching and preaching that we might bring him to the heart. For his name's sake we ask it. Amen.